I think there's a lot of stuff in our daily lives that we take for granted. Yours truly to be included in that. Think of the many things that contribute significantly to our daily lives that we almost never give thought to, unless prompted by the loss of that particular thing. An example? The heat coming on in our homes, for those that have oil stoves. As with many, my family has a time or two through the years when the stove failed to kick on and had to be dealt with. Because of this, I sometimes wake up in the night and listen for it to kick on. For the most part, though, we trundle through our lives not paying it much mind, and assuming it'll kick on when it's supposed to. Water coming out of the faucet is another example. And also, we mostly always expect our vehicles are going to start when we turn the key. Except for commercial fishing season, I pretty much always assume that when I need basic items like bread, I'll find it on the shelves at the store, where it's always been. And this starts to take our episode in the direction I'm planning for today. Taking for granted some of the daily items we use, and the idea that they can have moments where they're not as much of a given as we might think. And also, what did people do before we had them? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Specifically today, I'm thinking about toilet paper. As I read online and see on TV some of the overreactions to people attempting to hoard toilet paper, it makes me realize just how mundane it might seem as a product that we buy, yet how exceedingly vital it can seem to our well-being. We have all likely had times where we wound up without, for whatever reason, and had to make do with something else. One of my former students posted on Facebook the following last week, "You know all those fast food napkins we always shove in the glove boxes of our vehicles? Now is their time to shine." Funny, yes, but somewhere on the possible scale of reality as well. Because this is Field Notes, let's kick it off with a tie to the outdoors. What do you use in the wild? I did an episode a few years back on catholing, the process of properly dealing with solid waste while camping, if you don't plan to pack it out or have an outhouse handy. It's an issue that does require some thought and preparation, if you're going to do it right by the environment, and we should all want to do that. I won't rehash the procedural part, at least not now, but it's long enough ago that episode aired that I might revisit it in the future. The part that ties to today, the toilet paper, is worth mentioning, though. Not all toilet papers are created equal, and that's true from several applicational standpoints. With regards to camping, it's a good idea to find a toilet paper that's made to go directly into the ground. Such toilet papers are a lot more biodegradable and probably doesn't have stuff in it that the toilet paper in your bathroom might, things such as being scented or paper that was bleached. Environmentally friendly toilet paper is just a solid idea where camping is concerned. That out of the way, what did people use before the advent of paper specifically made for your backside? Because toilet paper has not been around for the vast majority of human history, other things have been used. Let's face it, the need for many can be daily, which means you better have it figured out. I've read that the ancient Greeks used stones and pieces of clay for personal hygiene. From what I read, the trick is having the right shape. Kind of narrow, with an edge, but obviously not a sharp edge. The Romans did it a bit different, but frankly, I think I like the Greek way better. The Romans used a sponge on a stick. In communal bathhouses, this was shared by everyone, and when not used, such sticks were kept in a bucket of salted seawater. They had long benches with holes where you'd expect for there to be holes, but also a hole in front through which to insert the sponge on a stick. Stalls did not exist, so if you were the shy type, I'm guessing timing was everything. Answering the call of nature often required the use of nature, with many types of leaves and vegetation put to use. Many of us have probably been forced into such measures a time or two, as we found ourselves caught short in a dire situation. Leaves, grass, and moss have all been used, and some options are likely cleaner and softer than others. Just washing off has also been an option, when water's available, and in colder areas people have made use of snow. I have also read that sand has been used in warmer, drier regions, though I'm not sure quite how that works. And it's a fact that, to this day, in some parts of the world, people still use their hands. the left purportedly being the most common. And speaking of natural materials, it should come as no surprise that animal skins have been used. In fact, a writer from 16th century France, François Rabelais, jotted down a satirical conversation in one of his works that, after a lot of excrement-eradicating experimentation, the best way to clean up was the neck of a goose that is well downed, if you hold her head betwixt your legs. It may have been satire, but animal parts, especially soft ones, got used. It sounds like Rabelais could have gotten a job in our modern culture as a writer for Saturday Night Live. Here on this side of the pond, during the early years of our country, people were paving the way for the phrase, rough as a cob. As the years passed and printed materials became more common, such materials eventually found use. Old newspapers and catalogs often filled the role. My understanding is that there was a hole through the corner of the old farmer's almanac, just so people would be able to hang it on a hook in their outhouses. Remember the one scene at the end of Dances with Wolves? I'm talking about the scene with the skinny bearded soldier, who was an absolute jerk. He went off to answer the call of nature and used pages from Kevin Costner's journal. Old articles of clothing sometimes get pressed into service. I had a friend who used to live here. We did some hunting, trapping, and fishing together. On many occasions, we'd be out in the middle of nowhere, and he'd feel the urge to go. Every time, he'd wind up using his underwear. I always wondered why he didn't carry a roll of toilet paper with him. Heck, I probably said something to that effect to him about it. Last week I saw a cartoon on Facebook. It showed pairs of socks lined up getting ready to go into the washer. The pair of socks at the lead was saying to the others, "Stick together, boys. Those that get separated are winding up as toilet paper." So, what about actual toilet paper? The stuff everyone's freaking out over right now. There have been a lot of instances in history where paper is referenced as being used for the bum, particularly by the Chinese, and this dates back hundreds of years. We'll skip through all the single mentions and land on Mr. Joseph Gaetti, who is widely credited with being the inventor of modern, commercially available toilet paper, at least here in the United States. His paper was introduced in 1857 and was still being produced over 60 years later. It was called Gaetti's Medicated Paper and was sold in packages of flat sheets and bore the inventor's name on each sheet. They even had a commercial tagline, "The greatest necessity of the age, Gaetti's medicated paper for the water closet." Quilted Northern, formerly known as Northern Tissue, has been around for a long time and used to advertise in the 1930s that their toilet paper was splinter-free. How's that for a selling point? And that was an issue with some early papers, getting it free of small stuff that might stick around after use. We are blessed to live in a time and place where things like rocks, moss, or a sponge on a stick really wouldn't even enter the mind to deal with something we all deal with daily. No, we have toilet paper, and really soft types of toilet paper, even if it's not exactly in abundance in some places right now. Maybe at the end of it all, when this situation has passed, one good thing to come out of it is that we won't take some things for granted quite as much. When you reach for that roll hanging near your own porcelain throne, you'll pause and consider just how good you have it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.